There is a specific kind of silence that settles over a house when the power goes out and the taps run dry. It is not the peaceful quiet of a weekend morning, but a heavy, expectant silence that makes you realize just how much we rely on a thin web of humming wires and pressurized pipes. I remember sitting in that silence years ago during a winter storm that took down the main lines three towns over. I had plenty of flashlights, but about 4 hours into it, I went to the kitchen to fill a pot for coffee and realized I had exactly half a gallon of water left in a pitcher and a pantry full of dried beans that I couldn't cook without a stove or a steady supply of liquid. It is a helpless feeling, standing in the dark with a stomach that is starting to growl, knowing you are completely dependent on a system that is currently broken. That night taught me that being prepared is not about living in fear or building a bunker, but about having the quiet confidence that you can take care of your family for a few days or a week without needing a miracle. We are going to walk through how to build that security for yourself, step by step, focusing on the things that actually matter when the world outside gets a little unpredictable. The goal here is not to stock a grocery store in your basement, but to create a system that feels natural and manageable. Before we touch a single can or bottle, we have to understand the philosophy of what we are doing. We are looking for high-density nutrition and shelf stability, but more importantly, we are looking for things you actually like to eat. There is no sense in buying 20 pounds of wheat berries if you do not own a grinder or a recipe for them. We want to bridge the gap between your normal life and an emergency without adding extra stress to an already tense situation. I want to start with the most critical element, which is water. You can go quite a while without a square meal, but your body starts to complain very quickly when it runs dry. The rule of thumb I always follow is 1 gallon per person per day. That sounds like a lot until you realize it covers drinking, basic hygiene, and maybe a little bit for cooking. If you have pets, you have to factor them in too. When you are looking at your storage space, think about the weight. Water is heavy, weighing about 8 pounds per gallon. So we want to store it low to the ground where it won't tip over or stress a shelf. When I first started taking this seriously, I made the mistake of thinking I could just rinse out some old milk jugs and fill them up from the kitchen sink. I tucked them away in the back of a dark closet and felt pretty proud of myself. 6 months later, I pulled one out to check on it, and the plastic had started to degrade, making the water smell like sour chemicals, and there was a thin film of something green starting to grow near the handle. It was a mess, and it could have made me very sick if I had actually needed to drink it. I learned the hard way that milk jugs are biodegradable by design, and they are never truly clean enough for long-term storage. Now, I stick to heavy-duty, BPA-free containers specifically rated for water, or I buy the pre-sealed cases of bottled water and rotate them through my regular use. If you are filling your own containers, you want to make sure they are sanitized. A little bit of unscented liquid bleach goes a long way here. I usually use a solution of 1 teaspoon of bleach to a quart of water to swish around the inside of the container first. Then I rinse it thoroughly. When filling for long-term storage, you can add about 2 drops of that same bleach per quart of clear water to keep anything from growing in there while it sits. When you tighten the cap, you should feel it seat firmly against the gasket. If you hear a hiss of air or see a bead of moisture when you tip it sideways, it isn't sealed, and that is an invitation for bacteria to move in. Once your water is settled, we turn our attention to the pantry. The best way to approach food storage is the store what you eat and eat what you store method. It sounds simple, but it is the most common place where people stumble. They buy giant buckets of dehydrated eggs they have never tasted, and then let them sit for a decade until they are useless. Instead, I want you to look at what you bought last week. canned soups, jars of peanut butter, bags of rice, and canned meats like tuna or chicken are the backbone of a good setup. When you are picking out cans, give them a quick physical inspection. You are looking for smooth sides and flat tops. If a can is bulging, or if there is a deep dent along the seam, leave it on the shelf. That seam is the only thing keeping the air out, and if it is compromised, the food inside is a ticking clock. When you bring them home, I find it helpful to use a thick black marker to write the expiration date in big letters on the top of the lid. Grocery store printing is often tiny and hard to read in a dim pantry, but a big handwritten date tells you exactly what needs to be eaten first. We want to focus on foods that do not require a lot of water or heat to prepare. If the power is out, your electric stove is a paperweight. Unless you have a camping stove or a backyard grill, you might be eating these meals cold. This is why canned beans are often better than dried beans for a short-term emergency. The canned ones are already cooked, and they come with liquid you can use if you absolutely have to. I always make sure to have a manual can opener sitting right next to the food. I cannot tell you how many people have a mountain of food and no way to get into it because their electric opener is dead. As you start to organize your shelves, you will want to think about the environment. Heat and light are the enemies of calories. If you store your food in a garage that hits 90 degrees in the summer, the nutritional value and the taste will degrade twice as fast as they would in a cool, dark basement. I like to keep my supplies on sturdy wire racking that keeps them off the floor. This protects them from any unexpected localized flooding, like a water heater leak, and it allows for airflow which prevents mold from growing on the labels. There is a tactile satisfaction in seeing a well-stocked shelf. When you run your hand along a row of jars and feel the cool glass and the solid weight of the goods, it provides a sense of grounding. You start to realize that you are not just collecting objects. You are buying yourself time and peace of mind. But this is not a set-it-and-forget-it project. Every 6 months, maybe when the clocks change, I go through my stash. I pull the items with the oldest dates to the front and move them into the kitchen to be used for dinner that week. Then I replace them with fresh stock. This rotation ensures that nothing ever goes to waste and that my emergency food is always as fresh as possible. You might be thinking about how much of this you actually need. Start small. Aim for 3 days of food and water for everyone in your house. Once you have that, you will feel a shift in your perspective. The next time you hear a storm warning on the news, you won't feel that frantic urge to rush to the store and fight over the last loaf of bread. You will just look at your shelf, see that you have what you need, and go back to your evening. Beyond the calories and the gallons, there are a few small things that make a big difference in how a situation feels. Comfort foods are high on my list. A jar of honey, some hard candy, or a bag of good coffee can change the entire mood of a household when things are stressful. These things don't just provide energy. They provide a sense of normalcy. I always keep a few extra bags of chocolate chips tucked away. They last a long time, and a handful of those in the middle of a power outage can make the experience feel more like a camping adventure than a crisis, especially if you have kids. As you build this out, remember that preparation is a process, not a destination. You will find what works for your space and your family's palate. You might find that you prefer the smaller, easy-to-carry 7-gallon water cubes over the large barrels. Or you might realize that you really don't like canned peas as much as you thought you did. That is all part of the learning curve. The important thing is that you have started. You have taken the responsibility for your own well-being back into your own hands. When everything is in place, take a moment to stand back and look at your work. Feel the sturdiness of the shelves and the organized rows of supplies. It is a physical manifestation of your foresight. You have built a buffer between your family and the unexpected. If that silence ever falls over your house again, you won't be standing in the dark, feeling helpless. You will know exactly where your light is, exactly where your water is, and exactly how to take care of the people you love. That confidence is worth every bit of effort you put in today.